You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Hello, I'm Jared Taylor with American Renaissance. To my cousins in Great Britain, congratulations. This is a great day. You have voted for independence and sovereignty. You will no longer be under the thumb of Brussels and the European Union. I hope your decision will be an inspiration to many other European countries that likewise will vote for independence and sovereignty. In 1776, my ancestors declared their independence. Well, it took you all 240 years, but I'm glad you have done the same thing. Welcome to the group, once again, of truly independent nations. All the pollsters have agreed that what motivated the vote to leave the European Union was that the people of Great Britain are absolutely sick and tired of immigration and multiculturalism. And they're absolutely right. This is a vote for Britain as it should be, a Britain that is fundamentally British. Now, your Prime Minister, David Cameron, the so-called conservative, he has agreed to resign because, obviously, he was in favor of something that the British people opposed. But on his way out, what did he say? He said that even as an independent sovereign nation, he hopes that Britain will be a shining model of a multiracial, multi-faith democracy. What a bonehead! That is precisely what the British people have voted against. Well, I can imagine in the United States, the future Democratic candidate in our November elections, Hillary Clinton, saying exactly the same mealy-mouthed nonsense. Well, who got it right? Donald Trump, the Republican candidate. He has said that all people deserve the opportunity for self-determination, and he applauded what he saw as a vote for the preservation of British institutions. And he got that right. Well, it did take you all 240 years to follow our example of declaring independence. In just a few months, we will have an opportunity to follow your example. We will have the choice between someone who stands for true American institutions and someone who doesn't, someone who thinks America belongs entirely to the rest of the world. We'll see how the American people vote, but I think you can imagine how I plan to vote. Again, my British cousins, congratulations on this wonderful day.
Well, thank you for that, Jared, and welcome back to tonight's live broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards. This Saturday evening, July the 2nd, second hour of tonight's show is now upon us. In that video you just heard, Jared Taylor of American Renaissance congratulated our British cousins on voting to resume full sovereignty. He scoffed at British Prime Minister David Cameron, who said he hopes that an independent Britain will still be a, quote, model of multiracial, multi-faith democracy. And as Jared quite rightly pointed out, that's exactly why the British voted to leave the EU, because they wanted to be who they are, not who the world is. Or as the Bible tells us, to be in the world but not of the world. We need to be ourselves. Jared looks forward to November when Americans, when we will have our chance to decide our future. And to that end, and Sam and Eddie may have read this last week in the third hour, I'm going to read it again, Donald Trump's statement regarding the British referendum on European Union membership. This is what Donald Trump said. The people of the United Kingdom have exercised the sacred right of all free peoples. They have declared their independence from the European Union and have voted to reassert control over their own politics, border, and economy. A Trump administration pledges to strengthen our ties with the free and independent Britain, deepening our bonds in commerce, culture, and mutual defense. The whole world is a more peaceful and stable place when our two countries and our two peoples are united together, as they will be under a Trump administration. Come November, Trump concludes, the American people will have the chance to redeclare their independence. Americans will have a chance to vote for trade, immigration, and foreign policies that put our citizens first. They will have the chance to reject today's rule by global elite and to embrace real change that delivers a government of, by, and for the people. I hope America is watching. It will soon be time to believe in America again. And with that, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who is in the studio with me now, the stage is set for what's going to be a wild finish to the 2016 presidential election in just a few months, a few short months now, compared to the grand scheme of this campaign that stretches out for a year and a half. They start running for president, you know, years in advance of the election. This is amazing. And I said in the last segment that if Hillary Clinton wins, it's over. Well, I don't mean that in terms of the fight is over. Certainly the fight will continue. We will continue to do what we do. We will continue to fight for our people. But I do believe any possible way of reforming the system through its current apparatus will be beyond us at that point. We're probably too far gone as it is. But Trump, a maverick-like Trump, gives us the opportunity to perhaps resuscitate and restore America's destiny through the presently available mechanisms. If Hillary Clinton is elected, then I think taking America back through the political process will be beyond our grasp, and something more revolutionary will have to take place, whether it's secession or some other breakup. So this is it. The choices couldn't be more stark. I've certainly never seen two choices more polar opposite in my life. Going back to the 1980 presidential election would have been, I would have been a baby, obviously, but that would have been my first one. So certainly since then, there haven't been two candidates that have been more polar opposites of one another. One can lead us back to greatness. One will take us further down the road to hell. But the good news is, Eddie, that trends throughout the world are suggesting that it's going to be Trump's side and Trump's ideas that win. That's the way things are shaping up throughout the West right now. So we'll have our chance in November. Right now, he still trails in the polls a little bit. He is leading in one poll that came out this week, but it's very close. So we'll just see. Anyway, one of the big things we're going to be doing this hour is talking about the 10 lessons that white people can learn from Brexit. We'll start breaking that down in the next segment. But first, I want Eddie to sound off. You did a great job last week with Sam, offering your thoughts on Brexit, your initial thoughts. Tell us what you want to say now.
Well, I'd like to say one thing to the David Camerons of the world. Anybody in Britain that wants a multicultural nation, they are, I would say that they're free to leave and go to the continent, you know, one of the nations in Africa, or Central America, or Mexico, for instance. I remember, you know, when we used to have all white nations in South Africa and Rhodesia, the former Rhodesia, the Zimbabwe, you know, the globalists of the world fought against them tooth and nail, and now they have evicted those white people out of their nation. There's, you know, white genocide going on in Africa, as we know right now. So, and I don't know why, to quote one of my best friends, you know, I don't know why you can have an all-black nation, I hear the music, people. We're going to take up on this as soon as we get back. We're going to cover a couple of items before we start the 10 points.
All right, we'll come back straight to Eddie. Let him wrap up his thought. I think you know where he's going with that. There's certainly no controversy over Nigeria being for the Nigerians. But when you try to say that our people deserve lands where their culture and language and religions and heroes can be number one, then of course you get into
stars and bars forever.
We'll be back.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, We learned. We struggled.
We won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, everybody, we're talking about Brexit again. Eddie the Bombardier Miller, along with yours truly, James Edwards, in the studio this holiday weekend. Eddie, we're going to break down the top 10 lessons that white people can learn from Brexit. And this was an article that we republished at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, earlier this week. It was originally posted to the Christian webzine faithandheritage.com, which is one of my favorite websites. We had Nathaniel Strickland from Faith and Heritage on a couple of weeks ago as our guest. I want to give you about two more minutes to wrap up the thought you had going into the last commercial break, and then we're going to break down these top 10, and I'd like to work through all of them before the end of this hour.
Okay, on Britex, and we have the same problem here in the United States, even greater than they have, because we haven't exited NATO and the United Nations and all these entangling alliances, these treaties like NAFTA and GATT and things. Now, the Brits need to do, here's what they need to do. They need to cut off all welfare subsidies to these foreigners, James. You wouldn't have to worry about kicking these people out of your nation. In this country here, the Mexicans, the Iranians, people that come into this country here, they're put on welfare. They're put on aid-dependent children. They get free education, you know, of grocery subsidies, housing subsidies. They don't even have to have driver's license in most cases. I mean, and forget auto insurance. So we wouldn't have to have a military and round these people up like they did under Eisenhower. The only good thing I know Eisenhower ever did was have an Operation Wetback when he ran the Mexicans out. All they would have to do is cut off the endless subsidies to getting to these foreigners. And that's the way we can get rid of them. If we cannot get rid of these foreigners, we're already about outnumbered, you know, James. I don't know. You mentioned a minute ago, it may be too late. It may be too late at the ballot box because, I mean, it's a simple mathematical, number. It's a simple math. If there's 40% of us and 60% of them, they're going to win 60% of the
time. And I'll tell you why. Because they're not cucked. They don't believe that it's evil to vote for the interests of their families. Only misguided, pathologically altruistic white people do that. We're the only ones that are that brain damaged, I guess, and it's an affliction that only seems to affect our people.
And the cooks are going to be the biggest fight. They're just like in the
Well, that's it. See, unlike other people, we've got
they're the big
challenge.
Enemy.
They challenge us, and then we're challenged by a significant percentage of our own people who are cucked into believing that it's evil to to want to put your children first.
You know, there's an analogy to the 1960 so-called civil rights when you had the Jewish, you know, the freedom riders coming down and the Jewish media, the media, the bankers ramming that stuff down our throat. But that's the big problem, James. And hey, man, I'm anxious to get back to these 10 points you're talking about. And
it was just a great article. It was probably the best article that I've read about Brexit, and it came from a website with which we're closely affiliated, faithandheritage.com. 10 Lessons White People Can Learn from Brexit. It's written by one of their writers, Adam Gray. There are plenty of things we can learn from the referendum to withdraw Britain from the European Union, and plenty of reasons for white Christians to celebrate the Leave campaign's victory. Number one, yes, white people, you can win. Against tremendous odds, a populist uprising decades in the making, fueled by middle-aged white Englishmen, prevailed in the political equivalent of a heavyweight title bout. Even though it's the current year, the sun has not set on the empire we call Christendom. Hope lives. It's spreading to the Netherlands, France, and Italy. And I guess point number one, Eddie, that he makes in this article is that it doesn't end in Britain. Britain is the start of a realignment to the nation-state model that served our people so well for so long.
Amen. And, you know, they did have to fight hard. They fought corruption from the get-go. I was listening to one of the people over there leading, you know, one of the patriots over there, and he said that the government actually extended the voting time, what, I think 2 days. After the vote was done, and it looked like they hit everybody that wanted to vote in England for Brexit, whether or not they wanted it or not. Then they didn't have enough votes. So they, get this, they extended the voting time 2 days, James. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, they come up with 2 million more votes.
Well, and it very narrowly won. In fact, the leader of the Leave campaign conceded defeat early. Yeah. And then it came in that it was this miraculous victory for the good guys. But here's the thing. It's still not going to be easy. So they won the vote against all odds. And I think it obviously shocked the elites. It shocked the establishment. But there's nothing to say the establishment has to play by the rules going forward. We know exactly. When the South did this, when our ancestors did this, Abraham Lincoln killed 600,000 Americans to stop the will of the people. So,
you know,
I don't know if it's going to get that drastic over there, but there's going to be a lot of funny business going on, a lot of payouts. They will try to infiltrate this movement. Now, there's a lot of perils and pitfalls that the patriots in Britain are still going to have to navigate.
But yes, they are. Yeah, I'm going to make a quick comment about that. Now, here's the solution. Here's what those people are going to have to do. You see articles where the globalists, the international bankers are going to come down hard on those people. And I think me and Sam mentioned this last week. No, they cannot. If the British people will come up and take a page out of the book of the Icelanders, and you need to arrest these stinking bankers, James, we need to have citizens, juries, whatever it takes over there, drastic measures, drastic problems. They need to arrest these bankers, take over the international banks, take over the stock exchange. Don't let and suspend trading, commodities trading. You have to do what you have to do to protect your nation from these jackal bankers.
All right, here's how it's going to have to work. If we're going to go through these top 10 this hour with only two segments left and we're coming up quick on this break,
let's roll.
I will read each one, 60 seconds or less, your response. So basically, great. I'm going to read it from the article itself and toss it over to Eddie for commentary. So here we go, number two from the article at faithandheritage.com, 10 Things White People Can Learn from Brexit. Ordinary patriotic Davids can beat globalist billionaire Goliaths. Pound for pound, the two opposing sides of Brexit were terribly mismatched. As is the case in the United States and elsewhere in the West, almost every major institution of any significance, from banks to churches to media outlets to sports franchises, jumped on the globalist pro-EU bandwagon. As in the current Trump phenomenon, the Leave campaign was fueled by lower and middle-class white discontent with mass third-world immigration, a.k.a. invasion and conquest, the loss of jobs, lowering of public education and safety standards, and the feeling that native-born Britons were losing their right to live in a country of their own. They agitated and organized and funded the UKIP candidates and finally got a Brexit referendum date on the calendar, and they won. Here's the lesson. Despite their overwhelming wealth, influence, and psychological power, the globalists can bleed. They can be defeated.
They have a, you know what? Here we go again. Another perfect case of the news media building up a Goliath, a Tyrannosaurus Rex. When in all actuality, it wouldn't. The globalists over there are not really a paper tiger, but the media built them up to where they were almost undefeatable. And they tried to put this idea that there was no way that people could win at the ballot box or anywhere else. David Duke on his YouTube, I listened to him the other day, he's pointing out the same thing. So the lesson here, James, is the people, that we the people need to not pay any attention to the news media, like these polls we got right here, for instance, with Hillary Clinton is ahead. I don't believe that for 1 second. You know, but the media is going to always make you think, in a form of defeatism. So do not, never give up. Don't believe the media, James.
I'm going to read this one and let it stand for itself. Then we'll go to break, so we won't toss it back to you on this one. But London, Scotland, and Northern Ireland appeared to be lost. Nobody was surprised that the London region strongly preferred to stay in the European Union. Many parts of London are majority non-white and non-Christian. London is essentially a third-world city that parachuted into the heart of England, complete with a Pakistani Muslim governor. However, after years of pro-Scottish indoctrination via Mel Gibson's masterpiece Braveheart and other things linking liberty to the Celts, to see the once fierce Scots also vote nearly 2-1 to remain the subjects of continental bureaucrats in Brussels and subject to Muslim conquest was truly heartbreaking. Perhaps it was due to centuries of anti-English pro-continental politics. Perhaps it was due to decades of Marxist multicultural indoctrination. Perhaps it was due to their 96% white population, a population that does not yet fully understand the reality of race. But to see Scotland, and to a lesser extent Northern Ireland, vote for their own enslavement and the extinction of their people was the single most devastating tragedy of Brexit. That's number three on the 10 things white people can learn from Brexit. We'll continue down the list when we return on the Political Cesspool right after this.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
One of the guns used by radical Islamist terrorists in the November 2015 attack in Paris may have been connected to the ATF's Fast and Furious operation. Citing a report of investigation filed by an ATF agent, Judicial Watch claims that the gun was traced to a dealer in Phoenix who had at least two federal firearms violations, but no action has been taken against him. One source identified as a veteran law enforcement official informed Judicial Watch that the ATF told agents not to disclose the identity of the dealer involved. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. In the ATF's Fast and Furious operation, several federally licensed firearms dealers in Phoenix were pressured by the agency into making illegal gun sales to straw buyers working on behalf of Mexican criminal syndicates. Most of the guns disappeared, and many have been connected to murders, including the killing of Border Patrol agent Brian Terry. The Los Angeles Times has reported that a Muslim radical arrested on suspicion of planning a killing spree in Garland, Texas, owned a 9mm handgun he purchased at one of the Phoenix gun shops involved in the ATF's Fast and Furious initiative, despite having a record of drug and assault charges that should have prompted concerns. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For commentary and insights on a troubled world, visit Joel Skousen's WorldAffairsBrief.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
What we're doing the majority of this hour, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show, by the way, is covering this excellent article that we reposted at thepoliticalcesspool.org from faithandheritage.com, 10 lessons white people can learn from Brexit. And basically, I'm going down the list, the top 10. I'm reading them. Eddie's offering commentary. What we did before the break was the one lamentation we have from Brexit, and that is that London, for instance, voted heavily to remain in the EU. And, of course, the reason for that was it's majority non-white, majority non-Christian. When the culture and racial stock of a population changes, so does everything else. Demographics is destiny. The results there were predictable. Great Britain will not remain British if the people do not remain British. I mean, and we want diversity to endure. We want all of humanity to exist. We want our people to exist too. And we have to have a place of our own. We have to have our own nation states, or else it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I want diversity. I want Scotch, Irish, Germans, Danish, Russians. But listen,
all different and distinct people. Even though they're all white, they all have different cultures, and I'm for the nation state. Absolutely.
The lesson we should take from the last example is look at what happened in London. These people, non-white races, they do not assimilate. They do not want to have anything to do with our culture. You know, people here in the United States that are for all this multiculturalism crap, that you bleeding heart liberals, you need to take a quick look at that. You people in Scotland and Northern Ireland, I know we've had centuries of hatred between you and English, but this is not a government anymore. You have to stick together with your own race.
Yes. That's right. And I'll say this, though, about the people that are there, the illegal aliens, the aliens, the whatever they are. I don't know if they're illegal over there. I guess they're probably not. But the non-white immigrants, I don't fault them. What they're doing is actually quite healthy. I think it's obviously beyond the pale to come into another country and demand it reflect who you are rather than assimilate. But they don't assimilate because they look after their interests first. And I think that they should do that in their own countries. And
cut we should their do welfare that in our off, countries. British, cut the welfare off, and London will go back to being white again.
Number four, there will always be an England and a Wales too. The genes that conquered the world and created the British Empire live on in their modern-day posterity. Decades and decades of postmodernism and multiculturalism, with nearly 60% of Englishmen in every region of London, of England minus London, still voted to fight on as an independent people free of continental tyranny, just like their forefathers did in opposing the papacy, Spain, the Bourbons, Napoleon, and multiple other threats. Their Welsh brethren were not far behind in choosing their independence from the EU. The lesson in this is freedom-loving, life-loving white people have many friends in England and Wales. And what he's saying is, despite decades of all of this indoctrination, immigration's good, white people are bad, you're a racist if you have any sense of identity and self-determination. And it was even more than that. All the scare tactics, the economy is going to crash if you do this, and still millions and millions and millions of people went out there and put their people first. That is very encouraging.
Our people, deep in our blood, in our blood and bone, our white race, we knew that the globalists putting out the lie was a lie they were putting out. They refused to be brainwashed. At least 60% of their white brothers over there that voted to leave the European Union. You're absolutely right, James. And I would like to point this out too. There's not, and this is how wonderful our race is. Our race. Every hospital over there in England has been built by white people. There's never been a hospital built in the continent of Africa that was built by black people. There's never been a black hospital built here in the United States. There's not one Jewish hospital here in Tennessee that I know of. None in Memphis, Tennessee. Every hospital here is been built by a Christian, been built by Christian churches, Methodist, Baptist, etc. And people are always hammering against white Christians. But I tell you what, if you hate white Christians, get the hell out of our hospitals.
Well, this is it. And if our nations are so bad, why do you want to come here so much?
Right.
And all of that's true. And this is the thing: political correctness is a war against preferences and noticing things. I just prefer to be around the people with whom I have the most in common, and I'm not going to be told that that's safe. All right, so the next one. immigration matters. As in the United States, this is number 5 on the top 10 things white people can learn from Brexit. Immigration matters. As in the United States, the single issue that undergirded the Leave campaign was the desire of Englishmen to be free of hordes of violent, alien, lecherous non-whites. They know they stand in danger of permanently losing their freedoms and property their ancestors purchased for them at a dear price. The pain they have experienced has inspired them to fight, to live, over and against whatever foes they may face. Race matters down deep in the bones and in the hearts of these people, just as it does everywhere and to all people. It is the desire and the love that nobody dares name, at least not yet. So implicitly, the author of this piece is saying that racial motivations propelled most of these voters, or at least a significant percentage of them.
Exactly. You know, and the white people, the European people are sick and tired of watching their cities, like here in Memphis. You can't even get out on the streets. We've gone to, our crime has skyrocketed. Look at what's going to happen in Cleveland, James, to the non-white races up there. They're going to be led by these agitating leftists, you know, in Cleveland. I fear for Donald Trump's life up there, because they said there's going to be 100,000, you know, ne'er-do-wells coming up there, raising hell and tearing the town up. When you have an all-white population, you don't have to worry about violence. You don't have to worry about your life every single day. You don't have to worry about being carjacked and being murdered. It's a fact of life that non-whites are far more violent than white people. And white people in England have learned that the hard way, just like we have learned that the hard way here in Memphis, Tennessee. And like anywhere you have a predominantly black country to go, or a city to go predominantly black, you wake up to that cruel fact. With non-white populations comes crime, and violent crime.
Top 5. White people can win. Ordinary patriotic Davids can beat globalist billionaire Goliaths. London, Scotland, Northern Ireland are lost. Those were the 3 regions that voted against exiting the EU. There will always be an England and a Wales, too, talking about the people from those historic and incredible countries did their ancestors proud by leading the charge to exit the EU. Immigration matters, as we know. Immigration and sovereignty were the 2 reasons these people went out and voted to leave the EU and regain their independence. Number 6, globalist opposition to British independence is just getting started. We talked about how they told the British folks that the economy was going to crash. Well, that didn't happen. They tried all the scare tactics, but this fight is still a long way from over. They still are going to have to honor the vote. There's nothing to say that they're going to do that. They're going to try infiltrate the new government apparatus there in the UK, minus the EU. They're going to try to infiltrate the people who propelled the Leave campaign to victory with their own folks. I mean, every bit of political chicanery that you can imagine will unfold, and some things that we can't even imagine will happen. There will be bribes, there will be threats.
Oh, yes.
This thing is far from won, even though the battle would appear to be over, and certainly the vote is over. But what comes next, unless they get the right people in positions of power, it's just going to be a vote that was taken in vain.
You know, I hope these people, James, I hope these people that voted to leave, I hope they have planned out ahead for the consequences when they do win their freedom from the EU, because here's what they're going to have to do if they hadn't. They're going to have to get a hold of some people that know how to organize and put together citizens' grand juries, citizens' attorney generals, prosecutors, you know, district attorneys, sheriffs. Over here, it would be a constitutional sheriff. Over there, you could say it was the Magna Carta sheriffs. You know, they had the Magna Carta before we had our Declaration of Independence. But they're going to have to organize, and these people that do not honor the vote over there, they're going to have to run them out one way or the other. And if they have to bring them to trial with citizens' trials and prosecute them, and like I mentioned a minute ago, if they had to take over the banks, nationalize these banks, shut the banks down, shut the stock exchanges down until they could get control of them and make sure there's no chicanery, well, then there's no guarantee that they will get out. But I guarantee the globalists, if they can use by nook and crook to keep them from exiting, they will do it.
Here's another one from the list of this article featured at faithandheritage.com this week and reposted to our website, 10 Lessons White People Can Learn from Brexit. Advocating for white interests as nationalists works. The Leave campaign implicitly spoke to white voters as white people by talking about the hardships mass third world immigration has brought on them, but they also talk to them explicitly as their fellow countrymen, appealing to their sense of patriotism over and against the corruption, injustice, and tyranny of the Brussels bureaucracy. It worked, so why can't it work here? Judging by the Trump campaign, which has also implicitly spoken to white voters as white voters by railing against immigrants and aliens from Muslim countries, China and Mexico, it just might work across the entire Western world. And this is what even Buchanan writes about. This is the trend right now. This is what is ascendant. And I don't know if any of us thought in the early years of the political cesspool that we would live to see something
I didn't.
So incredible. We'll be back right after this.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Get on the show, call us on James's dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the show. James Edwards here talking to Eddie in the commercial break, and we were talking about the last point in this countdown of the things that white people can learn from Brexit, how these nationalist movements are really starting to pick up steam now. And you already have in Russia, Putin. You have in Hungary, Viktor Orban. I was talking with Eddie during the break about how the right-wing nationalist candidate in Austria was defeated by just a fingernail in their presidential election a couple of months ago. Well, his party sued, saying that there was vote fraud, and believe it or not, the high court in Austria ruled in their favor. Now they're going to rehold this election. If he gets in there, he's going to be the first nationalist head of state in almost 100 years. Explicitly nationalist. Well, I guess Putin. You could count Putin as that, certainly. But see, this is a trend now, ladies and gentlemen. Things are changing. It's not outlier anymore. We're not focusing on outliers. We are focusing on something that is beginning to snowball. And Trump could be that guy here for us in America, maybe.
I would like to think that we here at the Political Cesspool has had even a minuscule part in that. Our educational process, we're listened to all over the world, James.
And changing the discourse and changing people's willingness to talk about this stuff publicly, have we had somewhat of an impact? Now, are we solely responsible for any of this? Absolutely not. Not even close. Have we had somewhat of an impact?
Through education?
The media thinks we have because they write about us every week. So, yeah, I think you could say in some small part we share in this victory. Or we are stakeholders in these victories. All right, we got to hurry to get to these last three. The path again to British independence will be a long road. A reiteration of a point made earlier in this article, but trade agreements, passport, and migration agreements, a decade's worth of domestic law will have to be recreated now that Britain is re-embarking on a life of national independence. The UK has literally not had to exercise responsibility for many of the things that ordinary nations do because the European Union has taken responsibility for them. But all that's going to change. And with change comes anxiety. Anxiety is a natural occurrence that need not be feared. It can be properly calmed and handled. But the anti-white, anti-Christian globalist media is already playing on ordinary Britain's fears to try to sabotage popular support for the British government as it commences the long, difficult, but feasible task of reestablishing independence. We in America had to do it, and while doing so, we were told the same messages that the Brits are now hearing themselves. While it's ironic that the nation we Americans once had to fight off in order to live independently now finds itself in a similar situation, the globalist message that Britain can't govern her own affairs is completely moronic. Telling a nation that once ruled one-third of the entire planet, has the fifth largest economy in the world, and still commands one of the only nuclear-armed militaries in the world, that she can't tie her own shoes, is not only preposterous, it is obviously false and designed to intimidate, not help, the British people. Our British brethren will need to maintain their stiff upper lips in order to silence the naysayers through successfully reestablishing their national independence. Not much you can say about that. That's obvious that that's going to happen. But he's right, and he points out the sun used to never set on the British Empire. They've been back down to their island again, but things can change for the better once again.
Well, what killed him, James, and you hear this in this country here all the time, is we need free trade. There's no such thing. When you hear free trade, that's just a total lie. You know, that's what the Orwell would call newspeak. What we need to do, what the Brits need to do, the Brits need to get rid of their NAFTA, their GATT, their FTAA. We need to get rid of all these so-called trade agreements. All they are is they are laws that bind the American workers and American industries and have giveaway programs. For instance, I was watching TV the other day. I'll make this real quick on YouTube and listening to one of my programs. The oil being pumped in the Mideast goes through this big pipeline to Haifa in Israel. Israel sells the oil to the Chinese for $2 a barrel. You know, the oil we have coming out of Alaska, most of that oil goes to Japan at cut rate. But we have to kick the globalists out. All these globalist schemes that they have are to, like Keith mentioned on the first hour, it's a so-called wealth redistribution where just a handful of global elite have all the wealth. We have none.
All right, there's two left. Eddie wants to focus heavily on number 8, so I'm going to skip out of order and go to number 10. We actually just read 9, so I guess I've been out of order already. But you can read the whole top 10 list, 10 lessons why people can learn from Brexit at thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight. This is what I feel as though is the most important. Our fate is not determined by trends or predictions. Only God determines our fate. Telling British voters in the 1960s that one day their country would be invaded by foreigners and that they'd be unable to do anything to stop it would have been a slap in the face after living through the Blitz and sending their fathers and brothers off to war. Telling them that the invaders would be their former colonial subjects rather than the Germans would have puzzled them. Telling them that after years of suffering, that their grandchildren would vote to turn things around would have pleased them, but the whole convoluted journey would have utterly puzzled them, and it should. For, as predictable as history may be, history still retains an element of surprise that often makes our best prognostications into silly cultural footnotes. Remember Y2K, flying cars by 2015, expectations that the Soviet Union would last forever. Brexit came about in God's way and in God's time. Let us pray with faith that those things we know pleases the Father. Let us work for them. Let us do everything we can for them. Who knows but that in his perfect timing, he will grant us a greater answer to our prayers than we had ever dared to dream of. All the Leave campaign has asked for was an electoral victory. They got that victory. And their anti-British prime minister has resigned. And the European Union, like the Soviet Union before it, is cracking apart. God still does miracles, even for nations and races. Let us pray, and pray hard, and hope for good things from our loving and good Father. And this echoes, Eddie, a comment that one of our listeners sent in to me this week. We hope and pray that Brexit is the rise of nationalism, that Mr. Trump and Mr. Putin are a harbinger of things to come. But until we as a people return to God,
amen,
it won't last. And this gets into number 8. The white world is being made great again, but only if we remain stewards of God's gifts to us, good stewards. From Russia, where a powerful leader restored prosperity and self-respect to his corrupt, impoverished civilization by taking on the world's largest anti-white, anti-Christian forces, to America, where blue-collar white voters spanning generations have carried the banner of Trump nationalism over their defeated multiculturalist globalist foes in the Republican Party and plan to spend from now until November doing the same to Hillary, Obama, and their degenerate coalition of the ascendant to Britain, where ordinary citizens thumb their noses at one of the world's truly great oppressive bureaucracies and its plans to exterminate them through mass migration. The white world is being made great again, one nation and one political revolution at a time. Moreover, as indicated by Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin, and their Mutual Admiration Society, and Trump's open support for the Leave campaign as a proper response to mass third world migration, we may be seeing a renewal of pan-European unity at levels unseen since before World War I. When all the eyes of the white world look at the third world with suspicion and view their white brothers in Holy Russia, the Fatherland, or Britannia, as natural allies, the possibility for Christian white revival across the globe is moving from a distant hope to a manifest reality. Go, Eddie.
You know, you mentioned something about obeying God, turning back to God. I know Sam Bushman on his show the other day I was listening to made the same comment. And the same comment that Sam Bushman made was also echoed on Michael Perucas, IOTC, Institute of the Constitution, by Reverend McAuliffe. If the foundations be destroyed, what will the people do? Well, you know, when we mentioned the Magna Carta earlier, I mentioned the Declaration of Independence, and those two governments were built on the God of the Bible. The Mayflower Compact was penned, voiced. We here are to obey and to honor the God of our Lord and Jesus Christ, our Savior. If we do not do that, then BreadX and everything else we try in this country will fail. Okay, moving on from there, if we do that, I think this is one of the most, I'm at the most optimistic time I have been in my lifetime. We have a golden opportunity. James and me was talking during the break about Viktor Orban, who was this all-white nationalist who came within a hair of winning the election.
No, Orban is in power in Hungary. You're talking about the guy in Austria.
Okay, in Austria. Orban. Okay. The guy in Austria came with a hair of winning the election. In fact, they think he may have did, but due to corruption, they cheated him out of the election. He is, like James said, the first first white nationalist in 100 years. All right, here we have Vladimir Putin in Russia. Say what you want to about the Russians, but Putin is for Russians, for white Russians, first, last, and always. Okay, the same guy in Austria, the same guy, okay, in Trump. I don't know for sure. I don't trust him 100%, but he's the best thing we got, and I think he probably is going to be a white nationalist when we get in there. Here's what I'm so optimistic about. And this cannot come about. It probably won't come about instantly, but it could if we pray and honor our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and His Father, the God of the universe. It could happen, James. We could get a Peruka uniting in friendship with Trump, who's already, Trump's already said he would reach out and work with the Brits, and, you know, even after they leave the EU. He thinks it's a good idea that he leave the EU. You know, the guy in Russia, he's already, Putin, Vladimir Putin, he's already kicked out. He kicked out the international bankers years ago. That's why the United Nations, all the globalists, hate Russia and are forever trying to form it, you know, problems for them.
And this is what we're talking about.
The we natural could unite. Order. We could unite as a white world.
The natural order seems to be realigning, and that candidate for the Freedom Party in Austria is Norbert Hofer. I think Horbert earlier. Norbert Hofer.
You know me in names.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to get off Brexit and cover some other things, a mixed bag in the third hour. Stay tuned, folks.
The Liberty News Radio Network.